Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate it very much. Myself, Andy Pate, Jordan Goodman will be joining us here in just one moment. America's Money Answer Man, so have all your questions ready. Charlie Grimes, our engineer. Today's impossible question of the day comes after yesterday's answer. So in a year, the average person walks 4 miles doing this. The answer was...
That's easy. Shopping at IKEA.
Yeah, that's...
Well, that's just one trip.
Just
I'm
one
sorry.
Trip. Yeah.
What about avoiding paranoid people at the store? I walk at least 4 miles to do that.
I would guess you're not the only one.
What's the answer?
The answer is making the bed.
Making the bed?
4 miles a year making the bed. Today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. On average, one of these is touched in a store 25 times before someone buys this. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. Here's some ideas from Facebook. James says a pair of underwear. Jason says a candy bar or a pack of gum. Jan says plush animals. Your thoughts, Andy?
Well, first of all, I think Jan's answer is the best out of those. I'm going to toss one out. How about magazines?
Ooh,
haven't you ever seen in the movies where the guy running the little shop says, hey, you got to buy that?
Yeah, it happens all the time. Do people still buy magazines?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Jordan Goodman, do they buy magazines in New York City still?
A lot less than they used to. I used to work for Money Magazine. It doesn't exist anymore.
Magazines don't do what they used to, do they?
No. The whole print world is dying, if not dead in many cases, unfortunately.
So what are your thoughts on what somebody touched 25 times?
I like the idea of magazines. I think that's good. People look at them before they buy them.
Yeah, so, and 25 is a lot by the time.
But there's a lot, you know, you're in the checkout line, you're seeing all these, like, people and
National
InStyle Inquirer and all those things. Now, you know, yeah, I think a lot of people touch those.
Okay, all right.
What about puppies at the pet store? You know, no, this one's not soft enough.
Ooh.
No, I don't love this one. No, I don't love you either. Don't love you enough. No? I'll go with magazines.
I think you might be onto something.
I don't know, man. If I pick up a puppy, I'm probably going to buy it instantly. I'm a sucker. No, but I'm going to stick with magazines.
Okay, stick with magazines. All right. Jordan Goodman, how are you today, sir?
Okay. Another record high. The markets continue to soar as the economy continues to get worse.
Which doesn't make any sense. Let's talk about that for a minute. Why is that?
Well, on Wall Street, they call it hopium.
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 Not yes. Opium, but hopium.
No, this is the new drug. So... nobody's looking at reality today.
By the way, I never knew you could sell hope.
Absolutely. I think we had a president who kind of did that, didn't he? Hope and change?
I guess. I just never have found that to have too much tangibility to it, but hey, whatever.
A lot of tangibility in your 401k right now.
Yeah, true.
So the reality of the economy is clearly sinking now because the virus is raging and all these shutdowns are happening all over the place. That's not good for the economy when you have everything being shut down, basically. And meanwhile, the stock market's going up on the prospects for vaccine. They've actually started inoculating people in Britain now, I think.
Right, I saw that.
The Pfizer one, just the very beginning, and that should start here, whatever, within 2 weeks or something, you know, relatively soon. And it's not only the Pfizer one, it's the Moderna one. There's a whole bunch of them. And so that's giving people hope that we'll get back to normal within, whatever, 6 to 9 months. Somewhat normal, not as it was before, but similar. So that gives people a lot of hope. There's certainly hope that there's going to be some kind of a stimulus bill. There's a so-called skinny package, only $906 billion.
Only.
Yeah, they had to compromise at a really low level. Yeah. But if that were to happen, that would give a boost to the economy to some extent. And I think the feeling is that Biden's going to put through a massive stimulus program relatively soon. It's going to be his first priority. And Wall Street likes that as well. The Fed Reserve is continuing to keep rates at zero for as far as the eye can see and keep pumping money into the economy. So what's all this business about people dying? I want low interest rates and stimulus packages.
Spoken like Wall Street. That's what they actually
that's what
would
try to do.
I mean,
I'm channeling Wall Street here. Yes.
I know. And I guess just being devil's advocate, I mean, at some point in time, you have to pay the piper, and we cannot continue to just, you know, not even print money because we're doing it electronically now. We cannot continue to just imaginarily come up with money and not expect to have to pay that back at some point in time in the future.
Long time in the future, yeah. And, I mean, other countries have been doing this. Japan has been doing this. China, Europe, they've all been printing money like crazy. It's the grand currency devaluation, I guess you might say. And what's going up against currencies? Bitcoin. Yeah, Bitcoin's up to almost 20,000 now. Gold actually has not been doing that well lately. It's about 1,700.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I noticed, you know, it's really, to me, it's strange that Bitcoin's doing as well, but gold is not. Gold is tangible. No offense, Bitcoin is not.
Bitcoin is the new gold, and I think a lot of people in the past would have bought gold are buying Bitcoin today. I just think that's the reality of it. There is a limited number of Bitcoins, 21 million is the maximum that could ever be created. When it was formed originally in 2009, Natoshi, this guy that nobody's ever met, set it up that there could only be a maximum of 21 million Bitcoins ever created. So there is a scarcity of it, and that's where people are putting money as a way of preserving value as they had been in the past in gold. So that's one of the ways you're seeing this massive money printing kind of come out the other side. The feeling is eventually this will cause inflation when you have all this money printing. Hasn't had that
yeah,
now.
How
because,
has it not, question for you along those lines. How has it not?
Because the deflationary forces of the virus are stronger than the inflationary forces of money printing at the moment. Right? And when you shut down economies, that is a very deflationary event.
True.
Much less economic activity. Fewer people traveling, eating, flying, using gas, everything that we do, that's much, much less economic activity. So that means there's lower prices. People are buying less stuff. And that's the virus has a huge deflationary impact. And so at the moment, and as it's been growing, as the virus has been getting stronger and killing more people and hospitalizing more people, it means more states shut down economic activity, which again is a deflationary event.
Yeah, and by the way, well said. And I think that's the answers for what's happening now. I guess the question is, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, but as we see things start to open back up, and we've printed all of this money, or we've created all of this money and fluxed it into the economy, if you would, at what point in time, as things start to get better, do we see inflation, or do you see that happening at all?
Not in the short term. I mean, next year or two. I mean, when the Fed Reserve starts worrying about inflation, that's when they're going to start raising interest rates. And they've said they're going to keep rates at zero probably at least through 2023 at this point. We've never had a circumstance where the Fed says they're on hold for a long time.
And that is a long time. Do you think some of that will have let me rephrase this. Do you think the Georgia election outcome will have any bearing on some of the things you just said?
Very much so, because it depends which way the Senate goes. If both seats become Democratic, then it's a 50-50 Senate, and Vice President Harris becomes the deciding vote, and so the Democrats become the majority. If one or two of the seats go to the Republicans, then they have a continued majority. Mitch McConnell keeps running things. So the stimulus package would be far, far smaller if the Republicans are running the Senate than if the Democrats are running the Senate. All kinds of things. Everything that Biden wants to do will probably not happen if he has a Republican majority in the Senate, basically. So, yes, that's key in the entire direction. And that's why so much money and attention is being poured into these Georgia governor's races, Georgia's runoff races.
All right, great stopping point. Let's do that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. If you got a question for Jordan, please call us 303-477-5600. By the way, you can text us a question, 307-282-22, 307-282-22. I'll ask Jordan that on air if you'd like to ask a question. That way we'll get it answered as well. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks. Don't forget about the great Cooper Tire rebate going on right now at Extreme Auto Repair. $50 off a select number of Cooper, I should say qualifying Cooper tires. That's good until the 13th. Give them a call today if you would, 303-841-1071, or find them online at klzradio.com.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
Enchanted Kitchens, folks, make that spot the enchanted place of your home. Make the kitchen function like it never has before and increase the value of your home at the same time. 303-376-7588, or again, find them at klzradio.com.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Hey, folks, one way you may be able to overcome some things going on in your own world if you're 62 years of age or older would be a reverse mortgage. We'll talk to Jordan Goodman a little bit about those as well. And we've got just the specialist. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, with American Liberty Mortgage. This is all he does. He does not do any other mortgages except reverse mortgages. Call Bruce today, 303-467-7821, or find him at klzradio.com.
You don't need it now, but you will need it someday. You're still working, and you're not planning on retiring immediately, but you'd like to have cash available for your future. A reverse mortgage line of credit allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into tax-free, liquid money available to you at any time, and you don't need to use it right away. KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has been hearing from homeowners 62 years and older who haven't retired yet, but who would like to get a reverse mortgage now while interest rates are still so low. Bruce can help you maximize the amount of money available to you, setting up a line of credit that will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Don't wait until you retire. Plan ahead now so you know you have the money when you need it. Set up a free consultation with Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, with us. If you have a question again, text us 307-282-22. Or the lines are open, 303. Get the right numbers in here. 303-477-5600. All right, Jordan, let's talk a little bit real quick. I did want to shift gears for just a moment. And everything you just talked about when it comes to, you know, interest rates staying down, that affects, you know, those are positives and negatives to everything that goes on. The positive of low interest rates are for those that have debt. It keeps things down. Businesses expand. It helps out on that end of things. But if you're some sort of an investor or a retiree living on interest, it stinks. So in those particular situations, what's some advice you have for folks listening that might find themselves in an area where, hey, they've got some things come and due, they're not making a lot of interest on it, they're looking for better investments, what do they do?
Lots of things to have higher yields than the 0% you're basically getting in a money market fund or pretty
well,
much
Well, you
know, CD
and even CDs are what, half a point or quarter
under
of a point
1%,
if you're lucky?
Under 1%, that's right. And you're locking your money up for a long period of time, yeah. Okay, so let me go through a series of possibilities here. And actually, I have a bunch of these in the resource section at moneyanswers.com. One of them is agricultural land. There's something called Farm Together, for example, where you can get yields that are paid by the crops being harvested. Okay. And they can be corn, soybeans, almonds, apples, all kinds of different things. And they go and find the farm for you and take
sort,
care of it all.
Sort of like old sharecropper days.
Kind of, but the farmers really like it.
Sure.
It gives them capital to do
things.
Sure,
of course.
So that's kind of an alternative. And it's not liquid, meaning you have to hold on to it for maybe 5 years, but it's a nice source of regular income. So that would be one example.
Okay.
Another one would be master limited partnerships, MLPs. Those tend to be in the oil and gas pipeline business. So the money, they're being paid royalties for the use of their oil and gas pipelines. Now, that's been down somewhat because oil and gas prices are down. There's less oil flowing. But still, a lot of those have very consistent yields in the 7, 8, 9% range. Another example would be BDCs, or business development corporations, that lend money to medium and smaller size companies at higher interest rates. So those have yields in the 8 to 9% range in many cases. And a lot of the BDCs pay on a monthly basis. Another example would be real estate investment trusts, REITs, where they own physical real estate and they pay the rental income too. There's actually two. There's an equity REIT, which pays rental income, and then there are mortgage REITs that have mortgages on properties and they pay the interest they're getting from their mortgages. There's some good ones and bad ones. I mean, I wouldn't do REITs in the areas of the economy that's being hurt. For example, retail. I wouldn't do shopping center REITs because they're being hurt by this.
Right.
But apartment buildings are doing very well because people are renting, and you know that's a good one. Another one would be healthcare.
Hey, real quick on that, Jordan. Do you get to pick what geographic location you get to do those in, or if you're in that segment, you're in that segment?
There are some that are in a particular region. And then there are some that are national. You can do it by specialty, just apartments, just office buildings, just healthcare facilities, just
makes sense.
Retail, that kind of thing. So I'll just give you one of many examples. There's one called Washington REIT, WRE, which just does the Washington, D.C. area, Washington, Maryland, Virginia. And so they are constrained to that regional area. But within their portfolio, they've got apartment buildings, they've got shopping centers, they've got federal buildings that they rent out to federal agencies of various types. So there's a lot of different ways. There's about 200 REITs. You can pick them. And then there are real estate mutual funds that have a diversified portfolio of REITs as well. So those are some examples. There's lots of ways of getting higher yields and keeping your money in the bank. Now, these things can go up and down, but if you're deciding it for income, the day-to-day fluctuation shouldn't really bother you that much. What matters is getting the regular income.
Why do more people not go those directions and still keep their money in the bank at very low interest?
They don't know about things, or they're fearful. And fear means you get no return, basically.
True.
You learn a little bit about these things, and your returns can be much, much higher. I mean, some brokerage firms will tell you about it, but it's not the exciting part. I mean, they don't want you to buy something and put it away forever. They want you to be trading in and out. So if you tend to buy a good REIT or a good MLP, you're just going to hold on to it for a long time. And brokers like you to go in and out of things so they earn commissions.
Sure. Okay. Makes total sense. All right. Let's talk about the real estate market. That's a great segue. Things are changing. I know here in Colorado, our rural areas, especially as we go west and get into the mountains, Jordan, are just booming. The inventories are literally at a record low, all-time low. Not enough inventory to go around. I talked to somebody over the weekend, a realtor up in some of our mountain communities. The school districts are up 30-40% from people moving up to those areas. So in our particular area, you know, we're seeing an exodus of people leaving the, you know, inner city, even some of the suburbs area, and going up into some of the mountain communities and so on, which is driving those prices up, of course.
Major shift out of the cities into the suburbs and rural areas all over the country. Absolutely. So
do you see that trend changing or slowing down any?
I think it's going to speed up. People are leaving the cities.
I agree.
Because of high taxes, high crime, and high COVID. I guess you'd get down to it. Now, that may get better over time if we have a vaccine, but I think the taxes are high and are going to stay higher. There was an amazing announcement yesterday. This is not only individuals, but this is businesses. Goldman Sachs said it's moving its asset management division, which manages all the money, from Manhattan to Florida.
Wow.
I mean, that was
that's huge.
So it's just an example. When you push taxes too high,
right? People leave.
People don't stick around.
Yeah, people are going to leave. So a question for you, and I know it's a little off topic, but what are these cities and areas going to do to try to drag people back in? I mean, at some point, somebody there is going to have to wake up and realize, wait a minute, all of our base is leaving. How do we, you know, we can't just become the south side of Chicago. What do we do here?
They raise taxes more. I mean it. That's
which doesn't help.
It drives more people out. Just about a month or so ago, New Jersey added a millionaire's tax on top of the things that they've already got. So that drives more people out. Chicago has done the same thing.
So dumb question on my end. Who's dumb enough to stay?
Well, people who really love Chicago or New Jersey, I guess.
I mean, but
if you push the rates up too much, the incentive is to leave, and a lot of people do leave. And where do they go? They go low-tax places like Florida, like Texas, mm-hmm. like Tennessee, like Washington State. They go where the taxes are lower. Capital moves where it's welcomed, and it flees where it's punished. Okay? It's high taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw another one. Which one? Those various Silicon Valley firms that are leaving California for Texas. There was a big one. I forgot what it was. Maybe it was Adobe or something like that. Major companies are leaving California, and they're going to Texas. To some extent, they go to Colorado as well. I mean, your taxes
True.
Are relatively low compared to California, and you've had some in-migration from California, I assume.
Well, a big problem in the urban areas is you have both conservative and liberal people moving out of them, right? Obviously, the conservatives are fleeing like crazy, but you also have liberals leaving who are not hardcore, and all that is left in those urban areas are hardcore liberals, leftists even, who embrace those policies. And that's why there's no way those policies will get thrown out. Just like Jordan says, they're going to vote for even higher taxes.
Correct. I think that'll be the solution. Yeah. And the people that get left behind are the poorer ones.
They can't leave. They're stuck. They've got no option,
exactly.
Right?
And not only housing-wise, but financially. They're not able to pay higher taxes. And they don't have assets. And so it's this downwards. I mean, here's a good example. Detroit.
Okay, yes.
In the last few decades.
Yes.
They taxed people and everybody left the city. It became a ghost town, basically. I mean, here I am in New York. And New York is a ghost town now. It's insane. You've got to
So how long
Square,
do people like
there.
You, and I guess question I would even give you, why are you still there?
Well, sometimes I wonder, actually. But I do like New York for all of its things. I'm assuming it's going to come back, and there's a lot of good things, a lot of good people around here. But you pay a high price for being in a high-tax
Well,
state
because
like
at one
this.
Time, I mean, what I was looking for even, Jordan, was at one time some of the individuals like yourself would say, well, because the nucleus of a lot of what we do is here in the financial markets are here and so on and so forth. But the reality is with the ability now electronically to pretty much
exactly.
do everything we once did before, do you really need to be in New York City? The answer is no.
You don't, and people aren't. I mean, for example, I do a lot of media appearances, and I would go into Fox or CNN or CNBC or something, and now it's all done by Skype or Zoom today. So it is less necessary than it has been in the past.
You know, another big difference can be which city do you go to? For instance, here in Denver, you have, for the whole Mountain West region, the center of the oil and gas industry.
Right.
And so you've got all the oil and gas companies. They have their branch offices downtown Denver. But
yes.
It gets to a point where Colorado is so punitive toward oil and gas, they just may move their offices to places like Houston and basically say, like you're saying, John, hey, we can do this stuff over the net.
Yeah, we don't
Correct.
Have to be here. Yeah,
it's a major structural shift yeah. to move things online. So that's happening in housing. It's happening in retail. I mean, here we are in the middle of the holiday shopping season. And Black Friday is now being called Bleak Friday because it was so bad for the retailers in person. And online sales are up about 40%.
Wow.
So more people are buying things online. The FedEx and UPSs of the world are just completely overwhelmed with the amount of packages
going through.
Well,
and you know what? Let's take a break. We come back. I'll share a little bit of experience of retail shopping I did on Sunday, not because I really wanted to. There was something I needed to go do. But I will share my experience with all of you, and you'll probably know why the online is up 40%. We'll do that as soon as we come back. Jordan Goodman again with us, America's Money Answer Man, moneyanswers.com. Got a question for Jordan? Give us a call, 303-477-5600. We'll be right back. Franktown Firearms, by the way, is next. And if you're looking to own a firearm or add to your current collection, Franktown is the place to go. They've got inventory. The waiting period now to get one, though, is up. There's several day wait, but that's okay. They've got inventory. They've got not only inventory on the weapon itself, but on the ammunition as well. Find him at klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
The team at Franktown Firearms designed their indoor shooting range to be an oasis from the outside world where you can relax, unwind, and blow off a little steam. They've worked hard to keep their shelves stocked and prices low so they can provide a welcoming place to practice, learn, and take a break for a while. You may be seeing wiped out shelves everywhere else, but not at Franktown Firearms. The team at Franktown Firearms want to help you become an educated, well-trained, confident shooter. So they make sure you have everything you need to practice, including ammo. Buy a gun at Franktown, and they will have ammo for you to train with at a fair price. As a member of Franktown Firearms, you can reserve lane time 7 days a week, including after hours, so you can come by after work. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/Franktown. Mention Rush to Reason for a discount on your initiation fee. Franktown Firearms. Save money. Get treated well.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, he is a financial advisor, wants to help you not only get to retirement, but stay there as well. So talk to Al today, 303-744-1128, or find him at klzradio.com.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Susan at Premier Manufacturing says, "In the 2+ years I have been with Premier Manufacturing, my interaction with BES has been nothing but positive. When we have a service issue, they do their best to have someone sent out that same day, and the service people have always been friendly, efficient, and professional." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, Andy Pate, and Charlie Grimes, of course, our engineer. All right, I want to share with all of our listeners my shopping experience over the weekend and give my opinion on why I think retail is as dismal as it actually is. And it goes back to Jordan, and we all know this is how things work, how the retail customer is treated. And when I have to actually stand outside of a store, when I can look inside and see not too many people in there, but I have to stand outside and wait in line to actually walk in because of quote-unquote COVID and the fact that I might, you know, breathe on somebody or pick something up because I'm inside the store and they limit how many people can come and go, yeah, it diminishes any yearning whatsoever to go to the mall and actually buy anything. So you do it exactly what you have to do. You get there, you buy the few things that you absolutely went to the mall for, you leave, you go home, and you order everything else online. That's why online is up 40% and regular retail is down, because we've literally, Jordan, sucked the life out of retail with all the stupid COVID rules we've got going on right now.
But those, they're following government regulations.
I know, but they're stupid regulations that. And they're killing retail.
It's true.
And you're also going to have some, let's face it, you're going to have some people, either owners or workers at these places, who enjoy imposing rules, who have a kind of a, a Karen philosophy of life.
Some love putting those draconian measures on those individuals walking in. Others, you can tell, are doing it only because they absolutely have to. And the other thing about it, Jordan, it just drives me nuts, It's so stinking inconsistent that, yeah, it may be a government mandate, but it's so inconsistent. One store is doing one thing when the one right next door might be doing something totally different.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly being enforced by police people. Going
no.
Around.
And it's just, it's lunacy. Yeah. It, what I'm getting at is it's lunacy, and we wonder why we're killing retail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those people should be very nice to retail customers because that's where they have jobs, okay? And
well, I can tell you right now that they are not necessarily that way, and I get where you're coming from, and this is training from the store, management, ownership, whatever the case may be, and you're right. They should be very happy those people are outside waiting in line to enter their store and should be thanking them profusely for doing so, but frankly, right. Jordan, I don't see much of that.
I mean, look what's happened to restaurants, for example, okay? Thousands, tens of thousands of restaurant workers and cooks and waiters and the whole infrastructure has disappeared, basically. And, you know, the customers are gone. And even at best, they might do 25% of the capacity. Most restaurants can't make it even at 50%
no.
capacity.
No.
So they're gone. So the customers are not there anymore. That's kind of hard to do remotely. But, I mean, I'll just give you an example. This week, we have two of the biggest IPOs.
Yeah, no, that's a great segue. Perfect. Let's talk about it.
DoorDash is a beneficiary of the move to have restaurants at home, basically.
And just,
bring
and real
the restaurant
quick, just
to
as a side note, and the reason DoorDash is doing so well is because they're taking a huge cut off the top of whatever that restaurant's actually charging
right.
for
like
food.
30%, I
yeah,
think, or something
it's
like that.
It's a huge number. I mean, if you really want to help your local restaurant, you don't call DoorDash. You call directly and go pick up yourself, because if you DoorDash it, that restaurant's taking a huge hit.
But they don't have the infrastructure to do the kind of delivery that DoorDash
nope.
does. So DoorDash is coming public this week. It's going to be very successful. They're going to raise something like $40 billion.
Wow.
And the other IPO, which is going to happen on Thursday, I think DoorDash is tomorrow, actually, is Airbnb. Airbnb is going to raise something north of $40 billion, I think, as well.
Wow.
They raised the price. It had been like in the 40s. They raised it to, I think, 60 to 70, something like that. Could go even higher. During the pandemic, at first, Airbnb got hurt.
Yeah.
But then people shifted from renting in the city for 1 or 2 or 3 days to renting in the country for a month or something like that, long-term rentals. So it was actually more profitable for Airbnb, and their business has come back, and they're profitable and doing very, very well at the expense of hotels in many cases. People want to be not with other people. They want to be on their own in a beautiful, kind of interesting place. And Airbnb is going to be by far the most successful IPO this year, which has been a record year. I think it's raised over $140 billion, and a lot of IPOs are up way more than their original offering prices.
You know, I think it's actually a blending of factors. I think you've got people who don't want to be around other people, right? The crowds and so forth. Basically, you've got the people who are very paranoid about that, but you've also got the people who don't want to be around a lot of rules. And so if you've got your own little house that you're renting or whatever, no mask, no rules, live
right.
your life, it's easy. And so people on both sides of the aisle are avoiding the hotels.
Correct. Hotels are dying. Hotels are going bankrupt. Restaurants are going bankrupt. Retail stores are going bankrupt. But for every loser, there's a winner. In the case of the hotel industry, Airbnb is the winner. In the case of retail, it's clearly online, Amazon's of the world. In the case of movie theaters are gone. I mean, they're all closed, and AMC and Cinemark and these companies are probably not going to survive. What is the winner? Netflix. It's not as though the need for the service has gone away. It's just shifted from the real world to the virtual world.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Andy. Real quick.
Really quick. It's interesting, though, to look at the case of South Dakota. I interviewed the head of tourism for up there, and I also know this from several people who have visited. Their malls are booming. Their unemployment is virtually nil. They holiday shopping right now is absolutely roaring up there. And the restaurants, everybody's got their jobs. So, you know, it's not the same everywhere.
But they also have a lot of virus. It's one of the hottest sure. hotspots in the country.
Yeah, it's a little, actually, it is a little higher there, but that's the trade-off. Is it a worthy trade-off? I think so, certainly. But
and
yeah.
then they had that big Sturgis, I think, South Dakota, the Harley
Yeah,
get
and,
together,
the, and it was not, and they thought it would be a super spreader.
It wasn't.
There were stories that came out. They were debunked. It clearly wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, it's a trade-off, obviously, because you do have less of the restrictions, way less. You're going to have a little more, a faster of the spread.
And I'd hang
a
on.
A little.
I'll come back and talk about that in a moment, because I'm not sure that's even the case. Frank in Denver, you got a question for Jordan. Go ahead.
Hi, Frank.
Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Yeah, I had a quick question. I don't know if you've covered this or not, but I was unfortunately involved with the purchase of the commercial bridge loans.
Sure.
The Woodbridge disaster.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I this was not any small amount of money. It was for me anyway. It was a fair portion of my retirement that all of a sudden became a Ponzi scheme. And you were kind of touting it till the very
end.
Well,
it was working very well for many, many years. And then out of the blue, not to my knowledge or anybody else who was involved with it, including the employees, the guy at the top, Robert Shapiro, turns out was running a Ponzi scheme. But nobody had any clue. These are all physical real estate properties. And they've sold a lot of them since. They still have many more to sell. My understanding is that people who've invested in it have gotten roughly 40% of their money back. It's a horrible thing.
And no, that's not true. I've got maybe 20 to 25% of my money back. So yeah, are you saying that there are a fair amount of tangible assets commercially that
they had hundreds of properties all over the country that are being sold. In some cases, they're doing well because the real estate market's doing well, residential, but the commercial properties are not doing as well. So they've still got hundreds more properties to sell to return the money to investors. But absolutely, it's a tragedy and a horrible thing, and I had no clue, nor did there were about 500 financial advisors who were recommending them, had no clue there was any problem either. It had been working well for many years. I don't know how long you were in it, Frank, but you were probably getting payments for quite a while before it stopped, right?
Not quite a while, a couple of years, if that, a year and a half. So I thought it was going to continue, but somebody really dropped the ball and didn't do their due diligence. I can't believe they didn't have some inner accounting.
Well, Frank, and not trying to get in the middle of all of this, but Frank, Bernie Madoff did it for a number of years,
25 years,
and ended up doing it for a very, very long time, and even sat on the boards of some very trusted places in New York.
He was the
chairman
of NASDAQ.
That's right. So the reality is, Frank, I mean, not to say that you're wrong in what you just said. It would be nice to have all those checks and balances in place. But man, Frank, some of these guys are so good, they just know how to get by doing things that none of the rest of us would ever think about.
Yeah, I was going to say, they are so good at running those scams. They've been doing them so long at such a high level, they're very hard to catch.
That's right.
Woodbridge had been in business for about 40 years.
Aren't anybody that's looking at some kind of a commercial bridge loan type thing, I think they're going to have their ears back before they even.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, well said.
I agree.
Like well said. Frank, thanks. I appreciate that very much. And by the way, just a side note, it is why you do a lot of due diligence. But on the same token, that's where some of this risk comes into play, Jordan, that we've talked about. And on top of that, you know, the reality is this. Unfortunately. We live in a fallen world, and the reality is there will still be crooks coming down the pike even after today. So you're not going to ever not have any more crooks like Bernie Madoff. Now, he may end up being the king when it's all said and done, but let me say this. There is another scam going on as we speak someplace. I just don't know where it is.
Well, I'd put Bitcoin in that category to some extent, and I'll tell you another area is PPE sales. There's a lot of scams going on in PPE.
So hang on. Back up. Because I like you, and it's the first time I've heard you say that, I feel the same way about Bitcoin you do. Explain, and I'll give you my thoughts as well.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of people touting it beyond the reality of it. And there's many other coins, other cryptocurrencies that have come up that I think are scams. A few years ago, they had the so-called ICO market, initial coin offering.
Right.
And there were all kinds of terrible, scammy things that came out of that. So I think Bitcoin itself is legitimate, but all the things around it tend to be kind of scary.
And there is a lot of, just for a side note for everybody listening too, Bitcoin encourages, in my opinion, Jordan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it encourages things to happen illegally because of the fact that it's not very traceable. So it sort of creates this illegal activity in and amongst itself just because of what I said.
When you get taken down on the internet with ransomware, they always want to get paid in Bitcoin,
of course, because it's untraceable.
That's exactly right. And, you know, drug money and absolutely.
When I mean, the dark web is pretty much the only way you get anything done on the dark web is with Bitcoin.
That's right. So that's the scammy part of it. I mean, there's a legitimate part.
Yeah,
there's
by the way, everybody listening, I'm not saying you can't buy Bitcoin and not have it actually hold its value and do the things. And so, I mean, that's your call. And I own about $300 worth of it is all, Jordan. So I'll make that you know, plain and clear. I bought about $250 years ago. It's up to about $300 today. So, you know, I haven't really, and I didn't do it as an investment. I just did it kind of to play around to see what things would do. But I am still not fully sold on Bitcoin.
Yeah. So, you know, something like that. But the PPE is another area where all kinds of people who don't know what they're doing are getting in, promising huge profits, and they have trillions or billions of masks that don't exist. There was actually a 60 Minutes piece done on it this last weekend. So that's another area. You said, you know, what's the big scam going on now? I would say PPE sales.
Okay. Well said. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning is coming up next. And make sure that your estate is in order before you pass on. That's what Michael Bailey does. Call him today at 720-394-6887 or, better yet, go to klzradio.com.
I am the ghost of Legal Present. I am the only benevolent spirit that matters to KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey of Michael Bailey Law. Because your estate plan should describe your wishes as they are now, based on today's laws and the assets you currently possess. Once you've taken care of me, your friendly ghost of legal present at klzradio.com/estate, you may carry on with your everyday life, enjoying the peace of mind that I will never haunt your family's future.
All right, Purefoy Chevrolet is up next, folks. If you're looking to buy that new or used vehicle, Purefoy Chevrolet is the place to go. In Fort Lupton, Highway 52, Highway 85. Talked to Bob quite a bit here the last few days. So if you want anything when it comes to a used or a new car, go visit Purefoy Chevrolet. Find them online at purefoychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
Hi, my name is Denny. I've been a customer of Purefoy Chevrolet since 1994, and I got attracted to Purefoy because I was and still am a Corvette enthusiast. And they were recommended to me to do modifications to my Corvette, and it's transpired into over a 25-year relationship now with the dealership. Over the course of the years, I probably purchased 24 Corvettes and numerous company vehicles for my business, and it's just been an outstanding relationship all these years. If you're a Corvette enthusiast, there's probably not a better place to take a Corvette for service or any modifications you'd like to make. And from the day I came up there back in 1992, you just come away impressed. I've known Rolly now for 20-some years, and a good business relationship turned into a very, very good personal friendship.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jordan Goodman with us, America's Money Answer Man. Find him at moneyanswers.com. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. All right, let's talk about some of the winners and losers this holiday season. I know we kind of brushed on that a moment ago, Jordan, and then we got sidetracked, but I want to get back to that because I do think that there's going to be a lot of losers, not because of things they're doing on their own. I mean, if you're a true retail operation which without much online presence, you either better get some online presence or you're not going to exist.
Yeah, and as these shutdowns continue around the country, that's going to be more and more the case. It's going to be a very unusual holiday season. I think even you go to Santa Claus, you've got to be behind a plexiglass thing.
Or they put like a 3-foot table between you and Santa with a bench on it. You don't sit on his lap anymore. I mean, yeah, the whole thing is just weird.
It's just not the way it used to be.
Okay, so and along those lines.
They just spray down Santa first.
I don't know. I mean, you know, here's the other question. I asked this yesterday, and this is the part, and I really wanted to ask this again to you today, Jordan, from the financial end of things, because here's the reality that you really don't hear anybody talking about. COVID's not going anywhere. We may end up with a vaccine. There's no guarantee the vaccine's going to actually fix anything or even do what it's intended to do. But, you know, time will tell, and not everybody's going to get the vaccine. But by the way, one of those, unless I'm somehow forced to end up with it, I will not get one. So the reality is there's no cure-all for COVID. It's now going to be with us for all the rest of our lifetime sitting here because it's now been foisted upon mankind. At some point, Jordan, we've got to learn how to deal with this beyond shutdowns.
Well, yeah, but every time we open up, the cases soar.
So
we've
be
seen
it.
That.
So, you know, and that's where I come from on this. So be it. So if you're one of those that's really vulnerable, then I guess you better lock yourself in a basement and stay home because the rest of the world can't.
Yeah. Well, you see what happens, though.
And I look at the death rate in those places, and it doesn't tick up much.
Death rates come down, but the hospitals are completely overwhelmed. We're about to destroy the hospital system because they just can't handle the volume that's coming in.
Well, and maybe that's an area in this country, Jordan, that needs revamped. You know, we revamp all sorts of other industries and businesses in this country. Maybe that's one that needs revamped.
Well, that's an area that the money from the stimulus program. I mean, the stimulus would just go right now to PPE and just keeping them alive, never mind building new hospitals, because we just don't have the capacity to handle the amount of cases that are rising. Other countries have done really well. Australia, New Zealand, Taiwan, South Korea. You know, there are other places that have really stamped it out. China is pretty much gone from China at this point as well. So if you do the right thing, it can be stamped out. But we are not doing the right thing, and Europe is on fire as well.
Yeah, but I look at Europe, and we got to keep in mind they've handled it differently in different places. For instance, like Sweden, of course, what they did is they let it hit early. And early on, everybody talked about Sweden's death rate. It was much higher than most of Europe. Well, now people aren't talking about Sweden's death rate. Why? Because over the last couple months,
it's dropped.
Well, not only is it dropped, it's running at about a third to a quarter that of most of Europe. Okay, so you're having far, far fewer people die for every, say, 100 or 1,000 cases in Sweden because they went through it first. Yeah, you know, we mentioned South Dakota earlier. Yeah, I'm sure that they're having a flux up right now. And later on, I guarantee you what's going to be going on is that their death rate will be much lower than those around them. That's just the way it is. We're talking about something that's going to work its way through a population, and you can only hold it off so long. And one last thing to keep in mind, the longer you hold it off, the longer you keep the elderly stuck in their homes because they don't have a society they can go about in. And right. I do think the vaccine will help, though, overall.
Well, I think the elderly are going to get first. Healthcare workers are going to get it first.
Right.
And over time, I mean, there's going to be a massive program to do this. This is something that's going to be one of Biden's biggest priorities. And it's good that we have this. I mean, this Operation Warp Speed has been amazing.
Yeah.
To go from zero to a vaccine in 9 months or whatever it is, it usually takes 4 to 5 years or longer to get a vaccine. So that's been a major accomplishment of the private
sector. The one thing
that
I want to make sure everybody understands as well is whether you agree with all these shutdowns, don't agree with these shutdowns, really the fact of the matter is, Jordan, I have no control over whether they happen or don't. I'm just trying to, and I know that's why you're here, advise people financially as to how they deal with these things
right.
and the repercussions of them, because I have no control one way or the other as to what happens, other than maybe packing up and moving to South Dakota, but I can't stand the cold, so that's not happening.
Well, I mean, look at the trends. And don't fight the trends, okay? I mean, if you're in the suburbs, your value of your house is going to go up a lot.
Yes, it is.
And if you're in the downtown area,
it's going to go down.
It's going to go down a lot. Just kind of realize that.
Hey, Jordan, really quick, will your value then go down after the vaccine comes through? Will some
I think
of that
so.
Level out?
Because I think, as we talked about before, it's the vaccine and the virus is part of it, but I also think it's high taxes and crime.
True.
And crime has been higher. I think those are the three reasons people are leaving the cities.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Jordan, on that. I don't think the vaccine coming along and even seeing some of the COVID stuff
right.
settle down is going to change some of those suburb and or rural area values, especially if it's in a really desirable suburb and or rural area. I don't
I think
see
taxes
that changing.
Is almost a bigger indicator of where they're going to go than it is the virus. Virus is part of it, but when they had riots over the summer, that drove a lot of people out of the central cities. They just didn't want to be
yep.
around for that.
Well said. Jeffrey from Highlands Ranch, you're up next. What's going on, Jeffrey?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
All righty.
Good. I had a small issue with how easily you're talking about some of the foreign countries dealing with their COVID solutions. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, of course, China.
Right.
Where they are known to have welded doors shut.
Yeah, they locked everybody inside.
Correct.
And they lied about their numbers.
Let's throw them out of the bunch because I don't consider
well,
what they
but,
did.
I mean, they have their economy is growing again, and you go there, and everybody's walking around with masks.
But
they
Jordan,
really did solve it for the
but
most
we
part.
We have
in China.
No idea how many people really died.
No.
Okay, I
they
suspect
probably
there are mass
it.
Graves that were completely
well,
hidden from the press. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
I mean, they took draconian measures, no question about it. But I'm just saying their economy is now growing and people are on the streets and out working and so on.
True.
So the number of cases is extremely small in China, a country of 1.5 billion people. So, yes, they took draconian measures, but it worked.
And are you willing to subject yourself and your family to those kind of draconian measures? I'm not.
Well, that's what's happening right now. We're getting big shut in California. They're doing code red shutdowns now. And, you know, it's not, they're not quite locking you in your home, but they're pretty draconian. You get fined if you're out without something urgent, you know. So we're not quite as draconian as China, but we're going that direction.
And that's acceptable?
Not to me.
Well, it's always a trade-off between the virus and your personal freedoms.
Yeah, and to me, it's not worth the, you know, there's that old saying, you can have security or you can have freedom, but you can't have both. I don't care about the security fact. I want to be free.
But I don't want you to die, John. Okay.
But you know what, Jordan, the way I look at that is I'll take my own chances. You, Jordan Goodman, are not responsible for John Rush's survival, death, or safety, for that matter. That is me to take care of. And by the way, Jordan, that's up for you, too.
Yeah, everybody's Absolutely. Responsible for themselves, but a lot of people have not been responsible. I mean, Thanksgiving happened, okay, and it's become a super spreader event. We're seeing the surge.
But it's not.
People
but it's not.
Were told
no, no,
not
no,
to
no,
go back
not,
and have
no.
family reunions.
You and I will
and
have to
did.
Disagree on that one because, no, it's not.
Guys, we got to keep in mind we're talking about something with about a 99.6% recovery rate.
Thank you.
And that is, and that 0.6, a large percentage of those are people who we could shelter because we could target them, the elderly, the obese, and the immune deficient. You know, to shelter the rest of society, to protect that group, you can do that. But I'm just saying you're going to have.
I mean, that's Jordan. Why you're here?
I'm just
we're
saying
being killed financially with this stuff.
Correct.
Yeah, you can do that. I'm just saying. I think the economic trade-off.
Well, it's not worth it, folks.
What I'm saying the
so
economy is taking a major hit.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Jeffrey, what else you want to add? We're running out of time. I got 30 seconds.
That was really it. I'm glad I was able to stir the pot.
Nope. Thank you very much, Jordan.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, Jordan, I mean, again, there's just certain things you and I can agree to disagree on, and this is one of those. I'm one that says open things back up, shelter those that need sheltered. Let's get back on track. Let's get the economy rolling again. But again, I'm a business owner. I mean, I've got a stake in this game. I own a business that I want to survive.
That's a good thing because a lot of people want their business to survive, but they're not surviving. Because of the shutdown.
That's right.
I agree
well
you.
Said. Jordan, it's always a joy having you. Love you, man. Appreciate it.
Always glad to help. I'm glad
Merry
to get the
Christmas,
emails.
Because we won't talk to you now until 2021.
Very good. It'll be a better year next year. Couldn't be much worse.
Let's sure hope so. Let's sure hope so. Jordan, I appreciate it. Thank
you
very
thank
much.
Thank you both. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Man. And it's moneyanswers.com. That's how you can reach Jordan Goodman again, moneyanswers.com. American National Insurance is next. Paul Leuenberger, my agent. Make sure you talk to Paul and see how you can save money on insurance. 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
All right, Rush the Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Always a joy having Jordan Goodman on with us, myself, Andy, and Charlie. We got another full 2 hours coming your way. Up next, Thomas Stedding is joining us. He's a Silicon Valley turnaround expert whose new book is Real Teams Win, What Smart Leaders Need to Know About Achieving Performance. We'll talk to him right at the top of the hour. Then I got several things to talk about right after that. We'll be right back, though. Hour number two is next. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Be safe on your drive home if you are, in fact, doing so. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. But this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.